السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Allah has enabled us again to sit together and to talk about one more attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Asma'i al-Husna wa Sifatihi al-Ula. And inshallah today attributes will be Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim. And we know again the purpose of all of this is to gain the best of knowledge. All this reflection about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to try to gain knowledge, the best knowledge ever for mankind. The knowledge about his creator, the creator of mankind, about our creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must be the most honorable knowledge, the most beneficial knowledge. Now, knowledge is any knowledge that we try to acquire. It's a knowledge that's interesting. It's interesting. It does not matter what subject matter it is. Once you open a book, start reading about something or another, it becomes interesting because you're acquiring something that you do not know. Okay? Now, and also if it is something that has something to do with benefit for you or others, then it becomes something that is beneficial, interesting and beneficial. But then a subject would be more than that, would be interesting, would be beneficial, and it will lead one into happiness, pleasure, satisfaction of the mind and the heart. And that is in an absolute term, the absolute comfort. That is only with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only in that subject, in this subject matter that we're talking about, and that which has something to do with the knowledge of Allah in many aspects. Now, the word Al-Hakim, again, try to translate it to English, would be the most wise, the most wise. But let us find out what Hakim means in a way of the language. Hakim, ala wazni fa'il. Fa'il. And like when we say alim, something alim, alim is what? Painful, right? Alim meaning mu'lim, mu'lim. Alim meaning mu'lim. Now how to translate this to English? Alim is painful, mu'lim it is also painful, okay? So when we say hakim, it's also muhkim. Muhkim. So Hakim is the most wise. What is Muhkim? Muhkim meaning something happened in a way of perfection. Something happened in a way of perfection. That is something that is Muhkam. And the one who did it is Muhkim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if this concept we can understand and really feel and keep it with us, it is the ultimate surrender and happiness of a human being on the planet Earth, ever. Okay? Now, when we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Hakim, He is the one that whatever He wishes happens. And whatever happens, it's His wish. Okay, whatever Allah wishes must happen, nothing to stop it. And everything that, so that gives us the future, like, you know, whatever happens, it's Allah's wish. And whatever is happening and happened already, okay, it must be Allah's wish. So what Allah wishes happens, and what happens is Allah's wish. Combine this thought with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He does is absolutely, absolutely good. Okay? What Allah does is absolutely good. So now you have, you walk on earth, you know what is happening is by the will of Allah, by the command of Allah, nothing will change it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is absolutely good. What else do you want from this life? Once you surrender this is fact, okay, that whatever is happening is absolutely good, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His attributes is absolutely good. Goodness in every attribute of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz and He is Al-Hakim. Now, you go back to what we said before and know what Al-Aziz means, okay? Okay. Al-Aziz, the one who is absolute one, that he does not need anyone and everybody needs him. At the same time, that everything is from him and he's absolutely needed and he does not need anyone. And anything else you can do without. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you everything, therefore Allah has everything for you. So now He is Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. So whatever Allah allows to happen to us, it is the most wise. What does that mean, the most wise? Meaning that what's happening, it's happening at a special time, special place, in a special way, in a very exact way. Therefore, it is done by the most wise. Okay? It is something cannot fit any other time, any other place, in any other way. It's exactly the way it should be, in the best way. Okay? We as human being, we cannot reach that level. Of course. Okay? We can try to practice hikmah. We'll talk about it, how to try to do that. But what prevents us as a human being from having hikmah? We have desires. And our desires prevent us from hikmah. Okay? We could be forced to do something. So pressure could be put on us. And that takes us away from hikmah. We can have jahl, a lack of knowledge. And lack of knowledge does not serve you well when you try to have some hikmah, some wisdom. Okay? Because we're a human being, we change. Okay, those 3 points prevent us from having hikmah. The desires, okay, you are hooked on something, you want to do something, something is attracting you, so you make a decision in a poor manner. Okay? Or you're weak and a pressure is on you and you're afraid. So the pressure makes you make decision not in a perfect way or not in a good way. Or simply, and that's for all of us, you know, you don't have the knowledge. Okay, so therefore the decision that you make, it is not, doesn't have much hikmah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one with all the knowledge. He is the one and the only one. He is the one that does not need anyone. He is the one that whatever he says goes, meaning He commands be and it is. So therefore, there is these changes does not fit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. Okay? So therefore, He is Al-Hakim. So now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and the earth, the qadr and the matter that is, or things that are going to happen, is already been written. And everything is fitting together with everything else in a space and time. Now, where do we fit there? We fit in this plan, whether we like it or not. Okay? So, as we said last time or the time before, we have something in common with other creation around us. Solid matters, plant life, animals. We occupy the space, we grow, we move. But we do not have a choice in this matter. In these matters, we have no choice. مُصَيَّرُون, if you have. Okay? So you have no idea how much you're going to grow, what you look like, you know, and so you have no hand in that. You don't know how long you're going to live. You're going to die, you know, in a time that is appointed. The elements around you will affect you. Okay? You walk around, you can fall, get hurt. Okay? There are many things, factors all around. You have no say in that, or no, you just take the means, but you have no choice in it. But the only thing that we have choice in is what in that which makes us different than other beings, which is thinking, being able to articulate things and making a decision. Okay, that is what we have choices in. But now we need to know this, that once we make a decision, and we have a clear intention about something and start to execute that which we have a decision and planning, we fall into the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever happens will happen to us and around us. And now, because we are Muslimun, we need to surrender and submit to this. And we know it is for the best of us. For us. And we know that this is, if we're making plans, we will not make a better plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making for us. That just put us in a way of comfort in this life immediately. And some of us would know why things are happening, the wisdom behind it, the hikmah behind it, and some will never be able to. But because you do not know, that means that there is some deficiency, wal'iyadhu billah. No, there is no deficiency. Wal'iyadhu billah, it is all designed by Allah. And again, we have an example in the event of Musa alayhi salam, when he went to gain knowledge and from the wise or the righteous man. Okay? So that righteous man, the first two events, when he made a hole in the ship, and when he killed a young man. At the end of the events, all three events, he told Musa alayhi salam why he did so, by the will of Allah, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned for this. So Allah ordered him to make a hole in that ship, and the purpose was to save it. To save it for the people. Because the people of the ship are poor. So now, here is an event happen at a time that to a people that does not seem to be a wise action to do, because those people, Allah said, they are masakin ya'maluna fil bahr, they are poor people working in the sea. So they are poor and they are working, meaning the work that they do barely cover for what they need, and they need more because they are poor. So that which they have that barely cover and less even than their need, then it has a deficiency in it. This is not wise. But at this moment, it is wise. At this moment, it is wise. Why? Because there is a king is coming, and he's going to take all the ships. So he's going to not take this one because it has a deficiency. So now those people, the assumption is that they were very upset when they saw their ship has a hole in it. But after the king came and took all the ships, they said, must have said, alhamdulillah, that there is a hole in our ship. Okay? So now they found out the wisdom behind this in their lifetime. Okay? But in the second event, the two parents who lost their child, you know, young boy, and they have hopes for him and so forth, and he was killed. But now The reason is that this child was going to grow and be rough on his parents, and their parents are good people. So Allah wanted to replace him with a progeny or offspring that would deal with them in a better way. But those parents did not know this in their lifetime, and they will not know it in a lifetime. But they must take it as it is. They say, our son died, and that is the most, this is a perfect decision, a perfect thing to happen for us at this time and now. Okay? But in the hereafter, then they will be able to know. They will know the wisdom behind that. So us as believers, we don't care about finding the wisdom. All we care about is to take ourselves into submission to this which is happening. And that will bring us to pleasure. So how to live in this wisdom and gain wisdom? Through the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? When we follow the commands of Allah, these are the commands from the most wise, the most merciful for us. So right away, when you take this, this is the most beautiful commands for you, the most wise command for you. You're going to get so much benefit from it because it's simply from the most wise, most knowledgeable. Okay? So now you have information with you is the most wise information ever on earth. With no disturbance of mankind, with no corruption of mankind, it is absolutely haq here. Then you carry it and you are the most, you have wisdom with you. And by the way, when we say Allah is the most wise, we say Allah is the most knowledgeable. But we cannot say Allah is the most wise because He is the most knowledgeable. See the difference? We cannot connect an attribute of Allah upon other attribute. We say because Allah is so therefore He is so. No. Allah is the most wise because He is the most wise. Allah is the most knowledgeable because He is the most knowledgeable. Independently like that. Okay? So Allah is the most wise, the most knowledgeable. His commands has perfection in it. Okay? So now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلِغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Okay? Here is who wants حكم and علم? Who wants ability to make judgment and wisdom and knowledge? Muhsinin, you become a muhsin, you reach that level. Allah did not make it exclusive to the messengers of Allah. In this ayah, Allah says, we give him, of course, the messengers of Allah are exclusive in certain things. We're not making ourselves equal to the messengers of Allah. But I'm saying to have hikmah and to have knowledge, it's acquired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it to you when you become muhsin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he became a young man, he became strong, he became ripe, if you will. We give him hikmah and we give him ilm. Okay? And that is how we give those who are muhsinin. So you become a muhsin, this is the reward. Just a beautiful equation. Cause and effect. Okay? You do this and Allah promises you He will give you hikmah and knowledge. Now, what is a muhsin? A muhsin, as we always say, is the person who does more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to do in a beautiful way. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about zakah, for example. Okay? About al-mu'minun, the believers, when they pay zakah. Allah says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. in their money, there is an amount that is known for those who ask and those who are needy. But when Allah talks about al-muhsinin, not al-mu'mineen, al-muhsinin, Allah says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. The same verse, the same words, but one word is missing, which is ma'loom. In their money, there is haqq, a right, for those who ask and those who are needy. But Allah did not say known. The believers, Allah said known, because it is the zakah and it is a percentage that is known, because they are mu'mineen. But when they become muhsineen, then that haqq, they make it haqq, is still a right, but it is not known. Meaning, they go beyond that percentage. Okay? Allah talks about al-muhsineen. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. Okay, it was a little part of the night that they will lay down and sleep. وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. And the time of sahar, they make istighfar. Now, if this is a must for a believer, no. This is not an obligation. But for a muhsin, he is taking himself to that level. So when we go to maqam al-ihsan in the Quran in general, we see that is, you're doing something more than what you should do, but from the commands of Allah. This is very important. You do not make something up and say, I'm doing more of something that you make up yourself. No. It has to be within the commands and the boundary of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-hikmah. When you in the Quran, when you see al-kitab wal-hikmah, you know the kitab of the Quran, al-hikmah, is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? The wisdom is the application of the Quran on earth by the best of man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is al-hikmah. So now, you do more in the way that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you, and you reach that level of ihsan. Okay? And ihsan from the word hasan, which is in a beautiful way as well. When Allah asks us to deal with our parents, Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Okay, you do not deal with your parents because of what you have to do. No. It's more than what you have to do. And in a beautiful way. Okay? That is the maqam al-ihsan. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now, as a human being, when I reach that level, we not like whatever level that Allah wished to take us, but if we need to acquire hikmah and knowledge, we need to move to that level of ihsan. We need to move to that level of ihsan. And how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe ihsan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam asked him, came to him as a man, and asked him what is ihsan, he says, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Okay, you worship Allah as if you see Him. Okay, but when if you do not see Him, He sees you. So if you do not see Him, He sees you. Is a level less than ihsan. So if you worship Allah because He sees you, this is maqam of what? What is the level of this? Huh? Iman. When you worship Allah as if Allah sees you, it's almost fear, right? It's almost fear, okay? It's fear. Allah sees you, get up, okay? Allah sees you, don't do this. Which is a level is okay? But it's less than a level of ihsan. Level of ihsan, as you see Allah, this is a maqam of al-hub. This is a level of love. This is a level of love, okay? Because you're looking forward to do so. See, when you're doing what you have to do only because you're afraid to be punished. But when you do more than what you have to do, it's because you love to do it. See? So we train ourselves to be in that level as today in the Khutbatul Jum'ah, Jazahullah Anna Khair, Sheikh Amir al-Sheikh, he was talking about something. The theme is something special that you do that's a secret. That's a secret. This is a way of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows it, and you just go and constantly do what you are doing. Okay? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. That is maqam al-ihsan. That is higher up level. So now, through the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in a way of command, now we have hikmah with us. Now, when we do more than what Allah asks us, now Allah will give us more hikmah. Okay? More hikmah. Meaning in a way of being able to make hukm, to make judgment, to make judgment. So now, that ability and that gift and that bounty, it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So now, again, we walk in earth and say that whatever happened to us, it is happening to us by the most wise and the most knowledgeable. So therefore, we are happy with that which is happening to us. We must be content with it. And we don't want anything else to happen to us except that which Allah wills it. Okay? And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the mulk of the heaven and the earth, and no one has a right to do anything in his mulk without his permission, so therefore, what are we upset about? What could we be upset about? Could be about something, only one thing. If we, our acceptance to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for us becomes little, or diminishes, or becomes in a way of non-acceptance, that is the only time we have to worry. Okay? That is that if we, what is happening to us, we look at it in a way of frustration, a way of non-acceptance, so therefore, that is the only harm that would happen to us. The only harm. But once the acceptance is there, so therefore, there is no harm. There is no harm whatsoever. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes through the physical harm and difficulties that we know about, all the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, was that bad? No. It was not, it cannot be bad. Impossible. It's absolutely good, okay? And for the messengers of Allah, for them it's a reward because they take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in a total obedience, a total surrender, a total Islam, total submission. So they have the highest of reward. Point of how to train ourselves to do so, okay? How to train ourselves to say Alhamdulillah with our tongue, but to feel Alhamdulillah in our heart. You know, again, when we look around the events that happen to us, happening in the world, happening everywhere, no saying Allah is allowing this to happen, then it is absolutely good. And we can reflect on things that happened in the past and we say that was good and we can see the wisdom behind it, some of the wisdom. But sometimes we will not be able to. Similarly, what's happening to us today and to the world today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting a stage to things that Allah promised us is going to happen. See, Rasulullah sallam gave us some information and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to see the future and give us this information. So that is comfort to our heart. What is to come to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Muslimin in earth, okay, to Islam from the east and the west and so forth. So, how dare we have to be frustrated when we know that this is the result that is going to happen absolutely, and it's a promise from Allah. Okay, how dare we to try to adjust in the da'wah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how to give, and to have to try to seek acceptance from someone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reason to spread Islam. As if Islam is spread by us. Islam is spread by Allah. We just, you know, we are going on in the ride here, okay? We're benefiting, you know, and trying to gain reward, inshallah, doing that work. So we do not adjust on the words of the most wise. See? we do not adjust on the path that Allah called it the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We take it as it is, as it is, deliver it as it is. And part of the result of this is some people will be upset. But we are not here to please people. We are here to serve people. Okay? And please Allah in serving people. If we are pleasing Allah and some people be upset, Alhamdulillah. Again, we were talking about those from Najran that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? From Al-Yaman, a king who's a Christian king. Okay? Delegation coming from a Christian country, coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he deal with them? Best of mu'amalat. Welcome them, you know, fed them in the masjid and so forth, right? And then what happened when he came to Aqeedah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had an interaction with them. Let me tell you about La ilaha illallah. So they talked about Isa alayhi salam and about, you know, the corrupt way of Trinity and Son of God and crucifixion and all of that. And Rasulullah Alaihi Wasallam kept arguing with them with the most beautiful way, in the most beautiful way. Okay? Until that challenge became very hot. Okay? And now, did Rasulullah Alaihi Wasallam, you know, with concern about what they think of Al-Haq? No. Al-Haq is Al-Haq. And he's going to be presented as it is. You know, you take it fine, you leave it fine, you dislike it fine, you like it fine. You don't do anything to Al-Haq. Al-Haq will do something for you if you take it. Okay? So, the challenge came to the end. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, okay, let us get your family, your children, bring our family, my children, yourself and ourselves to get there tomorrow and sit together and make dua Allah nabtahil, meaning ask Allah to send his curse upon those who are liars. Of course, they send an eye first, meaning a spy, to see if Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to start. You know, truly he means what it, and they found him getting, you know, Hassan wal Hussein and his family, his wife, and coming out. So they went back and said, he's serious. So they sent him and said, no, we're not coming. Okay. So did they become a Muslim? No. Does that mean Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal-iyadu billah, was a failure? No. No. They were failures. Okay? So you take it as it is. Okay? You do not mix this mu'amalat with aqeedah. Aqeedah is the same. Okay? So, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and a prophet of Allah will come to the day of judgment by himself. One, a nation by himself. What do you mean? What does that mean? Meaning, he gave the message and no one followed. And he died and now he's a day of judgment and he's by himself. He did not follow anyone nor if anyone followed him. Okay? Is he a failure? No. He's a success. Why? Because he did what Allah asked him to do. Because of what he implemented what Allah asked him to implement, he is successful. The result is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take this wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the wisdom of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take it and implement it as it is. Okay? That is where our success is. And then when we take it higher up and higher up in application, Allah will give us more wisdom and more knowledge. So we'll be refined in our ability to make decision. And then this gift of wisdom and knowledge will benefit us and benefit those who are around us. Inshallah, as we are used to, having a conversation, inshallah, not just please opinions, inshallah. And you have microphone there, inshallah, right? Okay. Yeah. Everybody knows that you, inshallah.
First one to
to make a comment, inshallah.
Comment.
Inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just to add to. I was thinking when you are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is nothing to, you know, it's not like us. We are limited to our knowledge and limited to our abilities and stuff. One more thing you maybe mm-hmm. to add to this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement his wisdom, if he like to change the environment, he will change it. I mean, that's something, you know, if he, something like Surah Al-Kahf, mm-hmm. he make the sun, yeah. the sun itself, تزاوروا عن كهفهم ذات اليمين, because he like to, not the sun to touch their bodies, so they will not go, you know. Mm-hmm. So not only the knowledge and the time and the object itself, you know, if Allah want to move it, so there is nothing will stop Allah if he want to implement some wisdom, you know. Yes. So this is alhamdulillah, that's yeah. very good.
Alhamdulillah. And yeah, so that which has a specific rhythm,
right,
will break its rhythm by the will of Allah
exactly.
to achieve like wisdom.
Exactly, yes. like yeah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was coming in Isra wal Mi'raj. Mm-hmm. There is hadith narration. They said there was a caravan mm-hmm. coming, and he told them they will be here in the morning, mm-hmm. and it was late a little bit. So Allah stopped, you know, the sun from coming up a little bit until they arrive. So the mm-hmm. Meccans will exactly by the sunset they will see them coming. You know. So this is, I mean, amazing, you know. So we are not. That's one thing. The other thing, somebody will argue or ask, like, okay, you said we have to go with the ride and we have just the intention, and then what about the people who are doing bad things, you know, can they contribute this to that? This is the will of Allah, so why I am like upset? You see what I mean, the idea of mm-hmm. of doing sins, mm-hmm. like people will said, okay, let's.
So become passive.
Yeah, said mm-hmm. I have nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, but some of us think this.
Right,
way,
but
yes.
actually, this is not true, because mm-hmm. even if you want to do a sin, and Allah does not want you to do it, you will not do it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to this point, I mean, from personal experience, you know, mm-hmm. when I was, you know, young. There's things I want to do, but I'm not capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevent me from doing it, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's all over the place, but I am not doing it because I don't want to do it, because, mm-hmm. you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But Allah both ways have his wisdom. Mm-hmm. So even if my intention and everything want to do such a thing or something, mm-hmm. There is something prevented me from doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's not true when he said, oh, mm-hmm. I'm doing this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm. you know. So it's all about the intention, and that's what we exactly, mm-hmm. what you said, that we will be accountable for mm-hmm. our intention. Mm-hmm. And the rest in the hands of Allah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam magnifies this. You know, who the best example in seeing where the harm is and try to prevent it. Forming armies to prevent, you know, harm coming into Medina, coming to the Muslimin. Okay? You know, did not sit and say, you know, if Allah wishes for them to failure, then no. Showing it, because this is part of who we are. Okay? And these actions of doing things and taking the means, it magnifies the relationship of love that we have with Allah. Okay? The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the compeller, if you will, okay, compels things to happen in a certain way. This magnifies the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So our action in a way of preventing harm and getting close to Allah and so forth, this shows an attributes of love, a relationship of love, okay? That also magnifies an attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Put it close to you, inshallah. You have to record everything you have said. Talking about a doctor.
I can continue. You mentioned about the
He'll give you one. Hold on. I mean, we don't want you, the doctor's opinion to not to be recorded, inshallah. That's right. There you go.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You mentioned about the solid matter, mm-hmm. and then the plants, and then even in the human
animals.
Yeah, and then human being, the thought process. Even in our body, there is some process going without even thinking, mm-hmm. like the brainstem, the breathing goes on by itself, heart beats by itself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
And then there's a higher level where you think about a thing, like uh-huh. when you do the things.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to go outside of our body to see this. It is there. Yeah. Can you imagine if you have to think about breathing?
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Other little point was about the thought fikr. Mm-hmm. One scholar I mentioned him with the fikr, he said zikr, like mm-hmm. fikr doesn't solve everything because insan's human mm-hmm. being thought is limited. Mm-hmm. Our senses are limited.
Mm-hmm.
So with the thought, you have to do zikr, prayer, to get the guidance.
Yes.
And that was in a nutshell a little bit.
Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. Shabab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh was mentioning about qadr. I think, is there two types of qadr? One that we cannot change, that is going to happen, and then one that we can change by praying and like making du'as, because there is a saying, Allah subhanAllah says, I will make every one of your du'as come true, unless, you know, if you make a du'a for me, mm-hmm. and I would, you know, if you ask for it, and I will give it to you. So mm-hmm. there are some types of things that we might be able to, and there are, is this what, I mean, that's what I understood from listening to a sheikh online.
Yeah, but everything is measured as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even your du'a and your acceptance of that is measured.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the knowledge of Allah, everything is set and measured. In the knowledge of the angels, they have certain things. It might be different than what Allah has. So when they come with a qadr and you make dua, Allah will command the angel to change it to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Right? So there is a change, but not a change for something that is not there. It is a change for something that has already been there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also with Brother Louis' comment, I think there's a in Sahih Buhari, I think, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about how, I think somebody asked him, you know, in your lifetime, have you ever like thought about committing something bad? And he said, in my lifetime, there was three. And then one, he was saying he wanted to go to a wedding with musical instruments. And then when he went there, he passed out sleeping without his knowledge. And then when he woke
on
up,
on his way, yes.
Yeah, everything was gone. So yes. I remembered that hadith when Brother Louis was talking about how. I forgot. It's, you know, I don't want to say something that I forget.
Alhamdulillah.
Be, you know, yeah. I think there was one with the cloak on his, when he was working, he took his shirt. I'm not sure. That's why I don't want to say something that I'm not sure.
Can somebody say?
If I don't know. I could look at the book, but I don't know what page is it.
Inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Question is about acquiring wisdom. Some people think that by reading a book they can acquire some wisdom, or by hanging out with some people who are, you know, intelligent or smart, they can acquire that wisdom. And it's not something that has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people think that way. In the Quran, Allah says, وَمَن يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So the verb yu'ta is mabdil majhul. So it's something that the human has nothing to do with it, just coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.
No.
Yes.
It's a quick comment on this.
Yeah. Yes. There are knowledge to be acquired. And if one gains so much knowledge without the knowledge of Allah and obedience to Allah, the knowledge he has no wisdom. And if one has the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of obedience of Allah, then he has the wisdom. Then whatever he does, it is in goodness. Okay? So there is no wisdom besides the wisdom that Allah gives. It is the only, the absolute wisdom. Yes. And, you know, I remember, you know, some series in PBS where here is, you know, some philosopher who comes in every, you know, few weeks and have, you know, interaction with him and, you know, ask questions and answer and so forth. And he's denying the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he puts down all religions, okay? And how he does that, he brings stories, okay? That's happening like in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, all of that. And then bring folk stories, folklore of like the American Indians or the American, original Americans who were here. And connect them, see, this is sound like that, okay? Here is they were there, and here is the snake was coming, and the tree were around and covered themselves. Okay, and here is the Bible said that, and here's, you know, so he puts it down in a way that it is just stories. Okay? But he can, as a philosopher, he wants also, or he promoted also thoughts and idea and wisdom and reflection, right? how you fix that, okay? So finally says, okay, ask him a question. Okay, what is, so who's able to acquire this, you know, wisdom and knowledge and all of this? He said, artists. Okay, so after all of this research, and he tell me artists? So now, and how does the artist get it? By inspiration. See? So now, he is denying inspiration from Allah to a human being to bring you, to tell you what to do, okay? Because he does not want to have anybody tell him what to do. But then he will not deny inspiration to an artist because it's just an expression of something that does not tell you anything of what to do, right? So he would take this and leave that. And that is plain stupidness, okay? And foolishness, okay? You cannot put any other label on it but that. Okay, you accept that fact, but you wanna put it the way you want, without any reasoning. Okay. So, if it is not from Allah, then there are no wisdom.
Yeah. You remember the last week I told you about this NASA. Mm-mm. No, here's the microphone.
You have to use the microphone.
So you remember the NASA scientist?
Yes.
I told you about the, after he explained about Mars for like an hour and all this knowledge he have, mm-hmm. he crossed his fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, he believes in superstitious stuff, you know, let's cross our fingers that we go to Mars.
After all this knowledge.
I mean, subhanAllah, there is no wisdom, yani.
Yeah.
All his knowledge will not give him wisdom, yani. That to cross his fingers, subhanAllah.
Yeah, even they go even further than that. They call their ships a challenger.
Yeah, they want to.
You know, who are you challenging? You know, yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
I just remembered one story I was reading in Ibn Kathir.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of Luqman.
Mm-hmm.
Most scholars, I think including Ibn Abbas, they believe he was an Ethiopian carpenter,
mm-hmm.
by his profession.
Mm-hmm.
One day his master called him and told him to sacrifice an animal and bring the two best parts of the animal to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he sacrificed the animal and he brought the two best parts. And those two parts were the tongue and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, this is the two best parts of the animal. And then after some time passed away, he called him again and told him to, you know, sacrifice another animal and bring the two worst part of the animal. So he brought the two as part of the animal. He brought the tongue and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some wisdom behind this.
Yes. 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 Alhamdulillah. One scholar was making that.
Last week I was reading this book of George Bernard Shaw, the quotes of George Bernard Shaw, in which he said, the fear of God, although he was atheist, he didn't believe in God, he says, the fear of God is a beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mehmet, in his spelling, he says, Mehmet was in England, he would be ruling whole England because he was the wisest man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
here's one of his quotation that he would solve the problem of the universe of the humankind in a time when we finish sipping a cup of coffee.
That's
But I mean, you know. Yes. Yeah. And you know, so what did this wisdom do to him or for him?
He is unblessed. Same thing. He knew he said these words for others, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give him chance to accept what the wisdom is.
And then,
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Subhanallah, there are two points that actually came to my mind while Sheikh Mahmoud is talking. The first one is subhanallah from al-hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the ayat, actually in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةِ, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates what he wants and choose for them what is best for them. Okay.
And they have no subhanallah choice.
And the other one is, now, if you read the same ayah and interpret the word ma instead of which to they do not, then it will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create what he wants and choose for them. They do not have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanallah, if you put these two meanings, okay, with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, it makes it beautiful, because then there are a lot of time when you feel that, okay, I do not know the right choice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the right choice. And there are sometimes that you feel that if I did this, I would be doomed by now.
Mm-hmm.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses another thing for you. The other thing, when Brother Lai was talking about, what about those who are sinners? Subhanallah, I remember Sheikh Sha'rawi was saying one time that subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them to make people hate the sin. And subhanallah, it's like when he was talking to the president, subhanallah. So yeah, he said it in a very polite way, that subhanallah, the kingship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a king was just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make people love this and benefit them from him. But in the same time, if he is not just, people will hate injustice because of him.
Mm-hmm.
So subhanallah, this is one of the wisdoms that even without knowing why, but subhanallah, it's there. Subhanallah. Well, subhanallah, if you show that interview, you see the value of a scholar. Subhanallah, it's amazing. It's like subhanallah, he was
the present. He told him this. He was very old, Sheikh, and so the president had escaped an assassination attempt. So everybody's coming out to celebrate, you know, and all over. So he came, and he was from among those who came to him, and everybody, you know, think of him, you know, as a great scholar. So he said, from what he said to him, he said, if you are our qadr, may Allah help us. And if we are your qadr, may Allah help you. And everybody was happy and glad, and that's it. If Allah send you upon us, you know, may Allah help us. If Allah send us upon you, may Allah help you. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا